What is that?
Kartik asks as we near the golden veil that protects the forest folk from view. Black clouds stretch across the river like a scar. Smoke, I answer, and my heartbeat quickens. We crouch low on the barge, holding our hands over our mouths and noses, and still we gag in the thick, dark air. Even the veil is choked. It scatters gold-flecked soot on our bodies. And then I see. The beautiful forest is aflame. The huts burn and smoke. The flames ravage the trees till they seem to bloom leaves of red and orange. Many of the forest folk are trapped. They scream, not sure where to turn. Mothers run for the water with crying children in their arms. The centaurs gallop for those left behind, scooping them up and heaving them onto their backs as they run for their lives.
They can't see, Kartik says, coughing. The smoke is too heavy. They are confused.
We have to help them, I scream, trying to stand. The heat is fierce. It sends me gasping back to the floor of the ship.
No, we must reach the Winterlands and chop down the tree, Miss MacLeady shouts. It's our only hope.
We can't leave them like this, I yell. But even as I do, a wayward spark finds my skirt, and I must beat at it frantically to put it out. I hear a splash. It is Asha. She is off the ship and walking through the water toward the shore. Bodies are thick here, but she pays them no mind. Here, she calls, waving her arm so that she can be seen through the smoke. The forest folk run for her and the safety of the river. Under the heavy layer of smoke, they are able to find their small boats. They board them and paddle out to the river and away from the ruins of their once beautiful homeland. Phelon rides to the edge of the water, and Gorgon brings us closer.
The Winterlands creatures came. They rode fast and hard.
How great is their army? Kartik asks.
Perhaps 1,000 strong, Phelon answers, and they have a warrior with the strength of 10.
Kartik kicks the ground.
Amar.
Falson narrows his eyes.
Amar's fighting for those creatures. I'll cut him apart. No,
Kartik says.
He's not one of us anymore, brother. Let him go,
Falson says, and it is almost kind. Asha pulls a body from the river. The creature is injured. She vomits water as we pull her onto Gorgon's ship. It's Neela.
Let me alone,
she croaks, seeing Asha's hands on her arms. The creature shifts from her dusky lilac form to Asha, to me, to Christus, and back to herself effortlessly. It's as if her body cannot control the function. Asha's voice is firm.
You were the one who killed the centaur, weren't you?
Neela coughs up water.
I do not understand what you say. You lie.
Phelon's eyes gleam in understanding. Asha will not let go.
You put the Hajin's poppies in his hand so that we would be blamed.
This time, Neela does not try to deny it.
What of it?
Why did you do it?
Phelon demands. The blaze from the forest flickers shadows across the high plains of that extraordinary face.
We needed a reason to go to war. You would not have gone without it.
So you invented a purpose?
I did not invent it. The purpose has always been. How long have we lived without magic of our own? How long would you let them deny us? They hold it all, and the filthy untouchables were put above us. But you would not strike. You have always been weak, Phelon.
Phelon's eyes flash.
You wish it so deeply you would kill one of our own.
Neela struggles to sit.
There is no progress without cost, she says defiantly.
The cost is too great, Neela.
One centaur for the rule of the realms? It is a small price to pay.